Welcome to the Go Beyond Health podcast. My name is Dr. Stacey Mobley. I am a women's health expert, speaker, and thought leader. This show was created for busy professionals and entrepreneurs by a busy doctor and entrepreneur. My goal is to share with you invaluable insights, tools, and tips around how to use health as your platform to live more, make more, and be more. You can rock your body, mind, soul, and your business all at the same time. Are you ready to embrace a fabulous and enriching life before retirement? Tune in weekly as I share key knowledge nuggets to help you tame chaotic hormones, stress, energy levels, all while shifting your mindset. Head over to simplehealthtalk.com to subscribe and receive free simple health tips, goodies, updates, and more. All right, welcome back to another show. This is Dr. Stacey Mosley, and in this show, we are talking about top superfoods. You hear that word thrown around a lot, and I want to make sure we define that word and we talk about what those superfoods are. Of course, this is not an exhaustive list of those superfoods, but it's a good start for you. I know you're busy. This show is for busy entrepreneurs and professionals. So I know that you're busy. So I just want to make sure you have all this information in one place, and you're going to choose one, right? Yeah, you promise you're going to choose one from this list at a time to apply for a week at a time and see how it goes. Because if you're trying these superfoods, come on, people. If you look better, you feel better, you think better, your productivity is going to go up. And what happens when your productivity goes up? Your profits go up as well. So I want to make sure you have this information. So let's hop in. So I just want to start by saying why I get confused sometimes with why people look for this one magic pill when there's such a variety of foods and jam-packed with nutrients, complex carbs, proteins, and flavor that you can munch on throughout the day. I'm a huge proponent of options. I love to provide my clients with options. So this is really important to me and dear to my heart. This by no means is an exhaustive list of superfoods, but it's just something to get you started. I want to make sure you had a simple, practical, and easy way to find superfoods on any budget. We can make a show about the exotic ones later. Okay, so if you had a choice of a pill over these superfoods I'm going to talk about, please choose a superfood. Caveat. As a doctor, I'm not saying completely cold turkey stop your medications. This is a process you need to work with a doctor to do, but you can include these superfoods. So if you are, what's the best supplement for diabetes, or what's the best supplement for hypertension? Start with your healthy eating habits. Stop looking for that one pill to do miracles in your body when you've already been given so many tools that grow right up from the earth that contain nutrients and enzymes that we probably, or scientists, haven't even identified yet, that play a huge role in supplying our bodies with the building blocks that it needs. So stick with the basics, people. Don't make it hard. So let's describe or define a superfood. So we describe superfood as a food with high nutrient content, and it has little to no negative side effects. It's high in nutrients, but not so much being high in saturated fats, artificial ingredients, colorings, additives, or contaminants. So now let's go ahead and hop into our superfoods. I broke this down by category and food group, and I'm going to highlight one of the superfoods that I list on the list. So let's go. So we're going to start with greens. Greens are awesome, jam-packed with nutrients, and they help to alleviate and prevent many chronic illnesses such as diabetes, hypertension, bone-related diseases, and more. You guys may be over the green hype because people are talking about it left and right. From smoothies to sautéing it to juices, it's everywhere. But it's the truth, and it works. So, kale, spinach, leeks, cilantro, collard greens, and dandelion greens are the greens that I've collected in this category to talk to you about. So, we are going to highlight dandelion greens in this one because it's not talked about that much, but it's a really powerful food, okay? So, dandelion greens are great with supporting your liver, your kidney, and your spleen, and it's a great diuretic. So, if you have hypertension or you've been told that you're pre-hypertensive or pre-high blood pressure status, start eating dandelion greens. Really help to decrease the pressure in your bloodstreams. And as with all greens, it's jam-packed with a lot of minerals, including magnesium. And magnesium relaxes you, right? Alright, so we are going to move on to cruciferous vegetables. These are crucial vegetables in your diet. Broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts. Who said that Brussels sprouts were nasty anyway? As a kid, you know, I heard this all the time. Oh, Brussels sprouts. Kids hate Brussels sprouts. People, remember, it's all about the seasonings, all about the spices, and we're going to talk about that next. I mean, you can lightly bake Brussels sprouts in the oven with a little bit of salt, a little bit of olive oil, and they are delicious. All right, so I want to hear if you guys try that recipe. But broccoli, we're going to highlight broccoli in the cruciferous vegetable category. Broccoli is rich in source of vitamin A, C, and bone-building vitamin K, and has plenty of fiber. So make sure you eating the broccoli raw, steamed, saute, however you do it, you're going to get the nutrients. So let's hop over to spices. So I've listed some spices, but gosh knows there's so many spices that our world has provided to us. So turmeric is one I wanted to cover, ginger and cinnamon. And I want to go through all three of these spices just quickly. So turmeric and curcumin, you hear these terms thrown around a lot. I wanted to dispel the difference for you. So curcumin is the most active constituent of turmeric. Curcumin is the most active constituent of turmeric. That means that turmeric, if you say the word turmeric, it already comprises that word curcumin. So when you're cooking curries, a lot of East Indian and African cultures use turmeric as a part of their cooking dishes or curry, and it's really great antioxidant, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, anti-inflammatory. It's all jam-packed, and it tastes pretty yummy. For you guys that've had curry or some type of dish that includes turmeric, you know, ginger. Ginger protects the body when going through chemotherapy. It helps with nausea and anti-inflammatory issues such as your joint pain. Awesome. You can make ginger tea. You can put ginger in your green juices. You can eat ginger as a part of your stir fries. A variety of ways to use this as well. Cinnamon, great source of fiber. It's more than likely why it helps with type 2 diabetes, aside from being just sweet and yummy. Cinnamon, also, you have to be careful when you're looking for cinnamon. I'll just say that caveat, because cinnamon is a really delicate spice, and people will tend to, a company sometimes, if it's not a great quality, will mix it with sugar and have a little bit of cinnamon in there, and you're thinking it's all cinnamon. You want to get these benefits of the diabetes and great fiber, you need good, pure cinnamon. And in order to find this, you usually have to go to an ethnic food store, like an Asian market or Indian market, or other ethnic groups that use this that you know that have markets, or your farmer's market, or some health food store to find good quality cinnamon. And I might just do a whole show on that, how to pick cinnamon properly. All right, so let's hop on to legumes. So, legumes. Awesome. Beans are awesome. Black beans, kidney beans, mung beans, or we call them lentils, yellow split or whole grain, oh, amazing for you. Jam-packed with protein, fiber, and nutrients. If you don't want to be farting around the office, you want to make sure you soak them. Yes, I said farting, but it's the truth, people. And next, let's talk about the oils. So we're going to spend a little bit of time here with oils. Oils provide good healthy fats when you choose them properly, right? So you want to make sure that you are using healthy fats and oils, first of all, and that you're not heating them beyond their smoke point. And what a smoke point means is that you are not using the oils to the point where they're causing a lot of smoke to come out when you heat it up on the oven, because that's when it tends to turn from not really great healthy fats to not so great fats. So I'm going to mention sesame seed oil, coconut oil, ghee, and extra virgin oil, extra virgin olive oil. We're going to talk about those. So with sesame seed oil, I'll just go ahead and mention the smoke points for all of them, and then I'll go into detail about the extra virgin olive oil. So with sesame seed oil, 350 degrees Fahrenheit is usually the smoke point, or 177 degrees Celsius for my non-American people who are listening to my podcast. Woo woo, thank you so much for being here. Coconut oil, 350 degrees Fahrenheit or 177 degrees Celsius. Ghee, which is Indian clarified butter, which I can make a show about later, how to make it and what the benefits are. 485 degrees Fahrenheit or 282 degrees Celsius is the smoke point. So you can cook a lot of stuff with ghee before it turns into that not so good carcinogenic crap. So extra virgin olive oil smoke point is 300 to 375 degrees Fahrenheit or 191 degrees Celsius. So it tends to be a little bit of the lower category of all the oils that you can use to cook with. But I would still say if you're going to saute vegetables, it's still okay to use extra virgin olive oil. You're not going to get to that high of a smoke point because you don't want to kill and burn your vegetables. But for meats and other things that take longer to cook, I would suggest you use another oil. Simple as that. We have such a variety. There's so many options for you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what this extra virgin means in front of the olive oil. So there are a lot of brands of olive oil out there, a lot of types. Marketing is heavy in this department because people are talking about the health benefits now. So I wanted to talk about the difference between the major labels. So extra virgin means that it's usually done by first pressing of the oil, meaning it has the most delicate flavor and most nutrients. Fine virgin sounds better, right? But it's actually a second pressing of the olive oil, so the quality is not as good. So it's still better to get that extra virgin oil, right? Refined oil, unlike extra virgin or fine fine virgin olive oils, they tend to use a mechanical means to press the oil or chemical way of pulling out the oils, and you definitely don't want that in your body. And pure oil sounds great, but it's not that great. It's basically a blend or mixture of refined and virgin olive oils. Don't want that either, right? So I just wanted to make sure you guys understood what it means to use a good quality olive oil, because you want to make sure that your olive oil is 100% extra virgin olive oil, first press, cold. Right? All right. So now we're going to talk about our grains. Grains are a great source of fiber, complex carbs, protein, and jam-packed with nutrients and minerals. I mean, all these foods, think about a plate combined with the grains, and sauteed in some oil and the vinegar. You just get in superfoods all the way around. I mean, you can't beat that variety. So quinoa, oats, brown rice, barley, and amaranth are all great grains for you. I mean, it really helps to moderate and control blood glucose or sugar levels throughout the day. So the grain I'm going to highlight right here is quinoa. So quinoa is actually a seed, and it's a pseudo grain. It's gluten-free and cholesterol-free. All you free people, you really like that, right? It contains all 9 essential amino acids. That means it's a complete protein. Let me tell you what essential acids mean. Your body makes certain amino acids. That's a non-essential amino acid. The ones that your body can only get from outside, from eating foods, are essential acids. So you need these 9 essential acids, and you can only get them through healthy eating and through your diet. So why not use quinoa? One way to get all of them in one place. Quinoa is also easy to cook. It tastes yummy. You can eat it by itself or with a side of veggies. It's some good clean meat. And it's easy to find organic, and it tends to be kosher, people. I want to make sure you guys realize your options in that category and use them wisely. So there are a couple of foods I wanted to touch on that I didn't put in any particular category, honey being one. Honey, listen to me, honey. So, honey is antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, it's a powerful medicine. So I want to step back for a second and say that I do not recommend, actually just don't give honey to your infants. Your infant babies, do not give honey to them. There are spores that exist in the honey that can lead to botulism, and the infant's immune system is not prepared for that, and it can be more detrimental than it needs to be for an infant. They already have enough stimulation with trying to get used to us crazy adults, right? So stay away from honeys with infants. A kid, you can feed honey, but so just infant category, just stay away from it. If you have more questions about that, feel free to email me and we can talk more about it. Grades of honey tend to go, you know, 1, 2, etc. And honey quality is based on clarity, aroma, flavor, and absence of sediments and honeycomb particles. So you want to make sure when you're choosing honeys, you're getting raw honeys. When I lived in Arizona, I loved getting my honey from beekeepers because you know where the source is and you know where it's coming from. And once it's been processed, you usually take all the nutrients out. That's not, you know, why you're eating it if all the nutrients gone. There are plenty of other sweet foods you can eat. And speaking of sweet, sugar is still sugar. So for my diabetic listening to the show right now, I would say steer clear of honey for right now until we get everything maintained in that department. And there are other ways for you to get a good amount of carbs and fiber and a less sugar amount, such as with berries. So take a handful of berries over honey. There are many other ways to get the properties that honey has. So you're not missing out on much, my diabetic people. It's just really a really awesome, sweet thing to eat. And a rule of thumb still applies as to honey as it does any other antioxidant, is that the darker it is, the more powerful it is. Maple syrup, all I'm going to say there is 100% is best. That's all I'm going to say right there. I'm going to leave it at that. And let's talk about tomatoes before we wrap up this show. Tomatoes are filled with lycopene, which is an antioxidant that's very powerful for you. So I want to make sure you guys really understand that. Lycopene gives the tomato the red color. So it's an antioxidant that helps to protect your skin against harmful UV rays. It protects you against certain cancers. It lowers your cholesterol and more. And tomatoes are high in potassium, fiber, and vitamin C. So research has shown that cooking tomatoes up to 30 minutes, and I usually suggest cooking as in stewing, sautéing, or something like that, up to 30 minutes increases the activity of lycopene by 134%. 134%. Can you believe that? That's amazing. That's awesome. That's good news. It's good news. It decreases vitamin C content by 29%, but there's so many other ways to get vitamin C. I wouldn't worry so much about that. And if you are a little fretty about the decrease in vitamin C content, you can always mix and eat some raw tomatoes and cooked tomatoes. Win-win situation, right? So tomatoes or lycopene in the tomatoes really help to halt cancer. And how it does that is it decreases angiogenesis, which is basically it decreases the cancer's ability to create new blood vessels off of your healthy blood vessels to feed itself. So it doesn't get to leach off of you. And so it's really great to have this in your diet, especially for my men listening to this call. Tomatoes, especially cooked tomatoes, are really going to help to decrease your chances of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. That is it for our superfoods, our top superfoods. Again, I wanted to make sure I listed some that were practical, easy to find, and within any budget. I just want to challenge you to choose one on this list, or if you're really daring, choose one for each category on the list and apply it for next week. Start to see how you feel. Again, when you start to feel better, get more energy, look better, your productivity is going to go up. And when your productivity goes up, I mean, I'm speaking with entrepreneurs and professionals here, your profits are going to go up. A win-win all the way around. All right, so I will see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in to the Go Beyond Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Stacey Mobley. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star review here on iTunes and make sure to head over to simplehealthtalk.com to subscribe for your free health and beyond updates to keep you productive, motivated, and prevent that noontime energy crash. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes on topics related to health, business, and mindset from key expert interviews and I.